We welcome you to worship. Those of you that are worshiping live, it is good to see you. Those of you that are joining us on YouTube are probably looking at a still picture and hopefully hearing the sound of my voice. And the reason for that is we have had some sort of video equipment failure, and we've tried everything that we know to do. However, our camera is not coming into the broadcast computer. And so, sadly, we will be audio only on YouTube, but we invite you to gather around the speakers and that we will sing for you and lead you in worship anyway, and God will be with us and bring us together. We are excited to be in this space this evening. We are excited to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we invite those at home to listen, and this first song is, O Come All Ye Faithful, We Adore You. Those of you that are here, feel free to stand up and join us in song if you would like. Seated.
to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. You rule the world with truth and grace, and make the nations prove the glories of your righteousness, the wonders of your love, the wonders of your love, the wonders and wonders of your love. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope. Songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Truth and grace. You rule the world with truth and grace.
When the writer of the Gospel of John talks about Jesus coming into the world, he talks about a light that has come into the world. And truly, this is a time where many of us are straining to see some light in the darkness, and Christ is that light. This evening we celebrate that Christ is that light, the light of the world, and because of that we sing hallelujah together.
Shadows to flight. tragedies of time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him. Bow down before him. Sing hallelujah to the light of the world. Light of the world, crown in a manger, born for the cross, to suffer, to save. High King of heaven, death is the poorer. We are the richer by the price that he paid. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him, bow down before him. Sing hallelujah to the light of the world. Light of the world, soon will be coming. With fire in his eyes, he will ransom his own. Out he will lead us straight in.
This time we'd like to invite the Williamson family to come forward and light the Christ candle in the Advent wreath.
We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing ourselves for the days when the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lay down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing.
The Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son. And you shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Friends, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Those of you joining us from home, this is Cole Williamson, lighting one candle at a time and concluding with the Christ candle. Thank you, Williamsons.
For a bit, the little Lord Jesus. just laid down his sweet plan. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. My lovely Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
While we were singing, I don't know why it came to my mind, but there is a Christian comedian, or a comedian who is a Christian, by the name of John Crist. Anybody seen the John Crist videos online on YouTube? Funny comedian, and he has a series called Undercover Pastor, where he dresses up with a ball cap and a blonde wig, and he goes around talking to his church members to find out what they think about him. And they come up with some pretty funny things. One time he was interviewing his church board, posing as a consultant to find out how the relationship with the pastor was going. And one of the incidents, in air quotes, that came up was a time that the board was complaining, that the time when the pastor was playing church softball with the church softball league and struck out and threw his bat and apparently said some not very nice things on the field in front of the church. And When we learned that our video equipment had failed, I think I came fairly close to that. You almost got to see a display of something close to that. And we are very sorry, those of you that are joining us with audio only on Radio St. Andrews this evening, that we cannot share video with you. Quite mysterious. And we are working with equipment that is old and really probably in need of replacement. Sometime soon, we're not sure quite what failed, but we tried many, many things, and here we are, Radio St. Andrews this evening. Well, another story I was thinking about, Christmas Story, the movie that has become a favorite among many. It is a mostly fictional Christmas comedy detailing the woes of a young boy named Ralphie, who is about 8 years old, and the challenges in his life around Christmas. It is set in an Indiana town in the late 1930s. Just as a side note, it was actually filmed in Cleveland, Ohio, only a couple miles away from where my mother grew up and where I used to visit my grandparents. And the home that is pictured in that film has become a museum, actually, in Cleveland. So if you're ever in Cleveland, there you go. Free plug for the museum. Ralphie's adventures include surviving bullies, being forced to wear a pink uni bunny suit against his will because the aunt who gave it to him likes to visit and see him in it. He endures the trauma of watching a friend get his tongue stuck to a frozen flagpole, and he observes a strange unfolding power struggle between his parents over a lamp in the front window that looks like the leg of a cabaret dancer. And to make kind of cap it all off, he gets his mouth washed out with soap when he uses foul language that he learned from none other than his father. A lot of trials and tribulations for an 8-year-old. All he really wants, though, in the midst of all this, is a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. And every time he mentions it, you can mention to anybody, somebody in his family, somebody at the department store, somebody at school, they tend to respond with, anybody remember, you'll shoot your eye out. And Ralphie does actually get the BB gun as a Christmas present, and he does almost shoot his eye out. His glasses shatter and save the day. He's not injured, and the movie ends with him going to bed with a sense of young boy satisfaction, happy that he received something he waited for so long. Despite all the obstacles, all the challenges in the film, Christmas delivers, and Ralphie experiences joy in the end. It's a beautiful fictional Christmas story and a lot of fun. Now, what about the first Christmas? Well, as we look at the scriptures, as we look at the first Christmas and the context around it, we see that Israel is actually no stranger to obstacles and tribulations. Now, if you grew up going to Sunday school, or if you ever attended Sunday school and you colored in a picture of Jesus or the Good Samaritan or something like that, you may have grown up with the idea that everybody was sort of walking around in ancient Israel speaking King James English and in robes, and everybody was very holy. But actually, the ancient Near East was a very rough, violent, difficult place. Author Philip Yancey rehearses in a whirlwind summary Israel's history, and it's not pretty. He writes, "A succession of great empires tramped through the territory of Israel as if wiping their feet on the promised land. After the Assyrians and the Babylonians came the Persians, who were in turn defeated by Alexander the Great. He was eventually followed by Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, the Jews' worst villain until Hitler." And Antiochus was horrible. "His actions so incensed the Jews that they rose up in an armed revolt that celebrated every year as the holiday called Hanukkah. But their victory was short-lived. Before long, the Romans marched into Palestine to quash rebellion, and they appointed Herod their, quote, king of the Jews. And after this Roman conquest," Yancey writes, nearly the entire land lay in ruins. So it was not an easy time at all. Israel was very often a place of suffering and war and violence, and it's to this place, it's to this context that Jesus arrives as Messiah. To Joseph and Mary, who are poor, to the wise men, and to shepherds. And amidst all the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the obstacles, Christmas delivers. Now, what about us? What about this Christmas? Well, we too are no stranger to obstacles and delays and tribulations. This evening is our second Christmas Eve that has been affected by a pandemic. Life as we knew it had been disrupted, is disrupted, and continues to be disrupted to the point that making simple decisions like, what should we do on Christmas as a family? Simple questions have become complicated conversations with lots of considerations and lots of fears and lots of worries around something as simple as sitting down and eating a meal together as a family or as friends. And so life today has raised issues, questions that we really never thought about before. And I think for many of us, that has taken a toll. Mentally, physically, spiritually, can you relate? Life is showing up very differently. And this Christmas, it is to this context today, tonight, that Jesus arrives as Messiah. Listen as I read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 about the responses that people have in their context to the news that the Messiah has arrived. Luke chapter 2. "In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace among those whom God favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So let's take a moment to reflect. What did you hear? What emotions, what human emotions are reflected in this passage? Initially, there's fear, and then there's comfort. There's a lot of amazement. There's awe, and there's joy, and there's praise. Is that how you feel this Christmas? Awe and joy and praise. You know, I was thinking, I often feel that way at Christmas. In past years, I felt that way a lot. And that Christmas joy that I had might have been a joy that I would call joy in addition to. Joy in addition to. In addition to the comfort that I was already enjoying. In addition to the things in my life that were going pretty well in general. The Christmas joy I had was a real joy, but it was also a joy that was sort of in addition to. And now I'm going to open my presents. Right? And I thank God for that. I thank God for as much joy and abundance as I can muster and enjoy on any day. And for many of us, some of that joy in addition to has evaporated over the last 20 months. Even when we have moments of happiness, we may still feel the presence of a foreboding oppression or fear or worry. It may be bubbling in the background. We may not acknowledge it. We may just be managing it. That's called coping, and that's a good thing that we do. And we may have experienced loss or pain. We may have experienced illness. We may have, over the last 20 months, felt sad or dejected or uncertain about our future. And I think those sentiments would have been very familiar to the Jews of Jesus' day. They didn't have a lot of joy in addition to. Think of how many things were up in the air for those people back then. Again, many people were poor. The world was not certain or stable. It was a series of bullies coming in, beating each other up. But always, Israel was the client state, the vassal state, the one who didn't have the power, the one who would have to play by the rules of whoever the new dictator was. If I lived back then, I might start thinking things like, what if a thug or a bully is appointed a tax collector in my neighborhood and they just decide to take everything that I have? Because tax collectors sometimes used to do that. They would have to pay Herod, and I guess Herod would pay Rome. But sometimes they would collect what they wanted to collect, even if they didn't owe all that. What if there's a famine? What if the next Roman emperor hates us and persecutes us or tries to suppress our faith? That happened. What if He executes faithful Jews? That happened. What if my wife dies in childbirth? That happened. What if I have an illness and there's no hope for me? That happened. Living under a shadow of uncertainty or fear or oppression would have been very familiar to Joseph and Mary. On Christmas Eve, again, they're poor. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't have a reason to practice joy in addition to, but they did have a reason to be joyful. They had a different kind of joy, the joy I want to call the joy because. The joy because. Joy because of the baby Jesus. Joy because. And joy because is rooted and grounded in the reality that the Messiah is born. This evening, could you open the door to the possibility that you could have joy because? Because of that. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Christ, the Messiah, is a Savior. I want to say that again. Christ, the Messiah, is a Savior who saves people from things that they want to be saved from. Let that sink in. Christ is a Savior. See, we say that all the time in church. We churches are guilty of using buzz phrases a lot. And just sort of assuming everybody knows what they mean, and then we sort of, you know, move on. It's just church, what I call the language of the church ghetto. But I want that concept to sink in this evening that Christ is a Savior. See, when we have abundance in our lives from other sources, we might not think we need saving from very much. If life is okay, if life is good enough, we might not walk around feeling like we need much saving. And when times change, sometimes that gets our attention. And actually, we need a Savior. We realize we need a Savior. And does the fact that Christ is a Savior transform lives? Do you believe that's possible? This is an adapted account from an NPR story by Jennifer Mitchell. NPR reported on a new deli in rural Maine with a hotshot chef behind the counter. Foodies may recognize the name Matthew Sechich, the chef for famous restaurants across the country, including the Oval Room in D.C. Sechich shocked the foodie world when he became a Christian and moved his family and his kitchen off the grid and joined the local Amish community in the place he moved in. It was a place called Unity, Maine, NPR reports. His new spot, Charcuterie, is a converted cabin tucked away in a pine forest in Unity, Maine, population 2000. You have to drive down a long snowy track to get there, and you can smell the smokehouse before you see it. There are no Slim Jims here, but rather handmade meat sticks, fattest cigars sitting in a jar by a hand-cranked register. Because as a hotshot chef, something was missing in Sechich's life. He had a perfectionistic streak that ruled his actions. He said, "I burned people," as in he held a line cook's hand to a hot fire for making a mistake at a restaurant in Chicago, where Sechich was a chef from 2006 to 2008. 4 stars, that's all that matters in that world. And then he grew disgusted. He said, "I went home one night, I got on my knees and asked for forgiveness for his lack of compassion for others, his nights with restaurant friends and a fifth of Jim Beam with a side of Pabst Blue Ribbon, for that overactive ego." He said, "I gave my life to the Lord, which I never would have imagined in the heyday of my chaos." So this chef, his first name is Matthew. Matthew now has less in terms of fame and fortune, but in the midst of less, he has true joy, because his true joy is based on the fact that he has a Savior. He doesn't have joy in addition to anything. He has joy because. People on Christmas Eve span the gamut emotionally. Some experience elation. Some are feeling, they're feeling a little sad because there's somebody in their life they miss. Some want to enter into the miracle of the coming of the Messiah, but then there are worries and distractions. And maybe we've just been very busy preparing for Christmas. But what would it mean for you this evening to have joy because of Christ? What does it mean to you this evening that Christ is a Savior? Let's pray. And I'll walk and talk as I do, as I'm making my way back to the back row. Almighty God, we thank you that your scriptures teach us that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to be a Messiah, to be a Savior. And oftentimes in our modern successful world, we don't oftentimes think of the possibility that maybe we need saving. And maybe that's something that's come to light over the last year and a half or so, that there are nuances in society, there are nuances in our lives. Some of them are not nuances. Some of them are big. Some of them are big moving pieces where we feel things are not as they should be, not as we want them. So Almighty God, in this moment of silence, as we prepare to sing Silent Night in a few moments, we invite you, dear God, to hear the prayers, the silent prayers of our heart, as we lift up to you the places in our lives where we are seeking a Savior.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Please note that we are not doing an offering in the congregation here in the main hall, but we do have in the lobby a basket for you to drop an offering if you so wish to. Also, at this time, please light your candle by twisting its base and let us join together in offering Silent Night.
So if you're joining us online this evening, little electric candles are lighting up here in the sanctuary. And here's what we're going to do. If you're sitting here in the sanctuary, the assembly hall, you're going to think of somebody who is worshiping from home, somebody that you might not see around you, or somebody that's just out of town. And in a moment of solidarity, I want you to hold your candle in the air as you hold space for those who are worshiping with us on YouTube tonight, who are traveling, maybe even for someone who's no longer with us. Hold your candle in the air, and let's hold space for them. Now let's stand, join together in silent night. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.